Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I was just taking train. I was working on an essay for one of my classes, and I actually looked out the window and I could see the other train coming towards us.
A USC student remembers the Metrolink crash in Chatsworth as Metro officials go to Washington to explain why Metrolink is one of the most dangerous passenger rail lines in the nation. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 3, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. Polls for the city elections opened this morning at 7. Mayor Antonio Villagrosa cast his vote this morning near the mayor's mansion in Hancock Park. He encouraged voters to do the same.
But please come out and vote, whether you vote for me or not.
Even though the mayor faces 9 challengers, he's expected to win in a landslide. If elected, he says he'll continue to expand the police department in his second term. He also wants to broaden the scope of his education partnership and focus on green initiatives. If elected, Villaraigosa will also face a few potential pitfalls, including a growing budget deficit that stands at more than $400 million now and is expected to grow. There are also rumors that Villaraigosa is eyeing the governor's office.
Whether or not I seek another office down the line, but I'm not focused on that. I'm really not. I just cast my ballot. I've not been reelected yet.
In addition to the race for mayor, voters are choosing a new city attorney and city controller. Polls close tonight at 8. First-time voters came out in record numbers last November, causing some people to speculate about a renewed interest in politics among young voters. Jean-Luc Renault is on the case.
Remember how excited young voters were before the presidential election? Many expected that vigor to translate into a lasting wave of political awareness and community activism, such that would bring out young voters to today's election.
Today?
The city election?
I had no idea.
Surely, young folks know what's up for grabs.
Well, first, I don't really, have a source where I could get, all the issues that are going to be, covered over the election, so I don't know what I'll be voting for anyway, so...
Granted. This is not a presidential election and was not expected to draw out the same number of voters, maybe 15% at most. Still, there's a lot of powerful positions at stake, including the mayor's office, city attorney, city controller, and 8 city council seats. Also on the ballot is Measure B, which would require the DWP to install solar panels across the city and could increase electricity bills if passed. David Mack has been a poll worker for 5 elections. He says he's not expecting to see a lot of young voters today.
It seems from my experience that there's a lower turnout. There's not as much interest among the younger people.
Yes, we can. More like, well, we could. Jean-Luc Renault, Annenberg Radio News.
Details are coming out about the final moments of the Metrolink train crash in Chatsworth that killed 25 people in September. The National Transportation Authority started a 2-day hearing this morning in Washington. Metrolink engineers and conductors routinely used their cell phones while on duty and even let passengers drive. On the day of the crash, the engineers sent dozens of text messages right up to the moment of impact. The foreclosure crisis has forced thousands of people to move into apartments, leaving an unknown number of pets homeless. That hasn't stopped many LA kennels from overbreeding puppies. The County Board of Supervisors approved a motion today that could put a stop to it. Janelle Burdett has a story.
The proposal was introduced by Supervisor Mike Antonovich. It aims to regulate local dog breeding facilities. Animal care and control staff members say an increasing number of licensed kennels have been caught overbreeding puppies. Antonovich says the puppy mills do not give the dogs the proper care or socialization they need. These puppies are sold on the black market, which provides the kennels with an easy way to make more money. Tony Bell, a spokesman for the supervisor, says that because there was no uniform law, these kennels believe no one was really watching them.
Sometimes the planning department's ordinances don't mesh with the animal care and controls ordinances. So what this will do is make sure they're comprehensive, that we're, all the county departments are working together to try and stop this.
The plan was passed with a unanimous vote. Animal Care and Control will investigate these kennels and report back to the Board of Supervisors within 45 days with recommendations to strengthen the regulations. Janelle Burdett, Annenberg Radio News.
The Board of Supervisors demanded today that the Sheriff's Department monitor 2,700 deputies hired in the last 3 years. The department may have accepted less qualified applicants during that time in an effort to expand the force. The monitoring program would require those recruits to be reviewed for their first 5 years at the department. Tonight we're looking at cloudy skies with lows in the 50s. Carry your umbrella tomorrow. There's a 30% chance of rain with highs in the mid-60s and lows in the upper 40s. There's no sign of rain on Thursday. It will be sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Angelenos headed to the polls today. Well, a few of them did. We find out what's on their minds. The National Transportation Safety Board opened 2 days of hearings today in Washington on the Metrolink crash in Chatsworth. The accident in September killed 25 people and injured 130 others. Karen Marcus reports.
USC student Katie Langava was on her way home September when the train crashed.
So I was just taking train. I was working on, an essay for one of my classes. And I actually looked out the window and I could see the other train coming towards us, but maybe because it was so brief, but it didn't really register to me what was going on. I just didn't really take it in. But then I don't remember the impact at all, which I'm very grateful for. And I just remember coming to on top of lots of debris.
Langawa is angry that a train engineer's cell phone almost cost her life. Her 25-day hospital stay forced her to temporarily drop out of school. Representatives from Metrolink and Connex Rail say they thoroughly screen employees, but NTSB Board of Inquiry Chairman Catherine Higgins says they don't.
I guess I'm underwhelmed by the system that's currently in place, which I haven't heard any that has been changed at all since the accident, other than that we now have a federal requirement.
Text messages reveal Robert Sanchez offered passengers a turn at the controls. He texted a teenage railroad fan and said, "I'm going to do all the railroad talking, you're going to run the locomotive." Higgins says this is a major Metrolink policy violation.
We're talking about serious rule violations in this particular accident in three areas. In the calling of signals, in the use of cell phones, and in the issue of unauthorized passengers riding and, in fact, driving the train with the engineer.
Testimony reveals the engineer violated the cell phone use policy twice in the past, but he only received warnings. Connex says they annually assess employees and follow up on violations, but that a staff of 160 people can only do so much. Connex and Metrolink will add forward-facing cameras to every train in addition to complying with a federal ban on cell phones. The hearing continues tomorrow. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
South Los Angeles residents and business owners gathered this afternoon for a community meeting to discuss money that will soon be coming to local communities. The city wants to know how residents would like to see $91 million spent in their neighborhoods. Marie Cunningham explains.
Communities across Los Angeles are meeting this week to review the mayor's proposed budget for the Community Development Block Grant for the 2009-2010 program year. The city allocated $91 million for the block grant with funds from the Fed's Department of Housing and Urban Development. Kim Olson, a senior management analyst at the City of Los Angeles Community Development Department, explains how the money is divided throughout LA.
We look at the demographics and the need for, and the highest need is generally we're looking at the low to moderate income areas, census tracts for the need. There's also the redevelopment areas that are slum and blighted, we can also help out. But we're primarily looking for low to moderate income census tracts with a high population.
Olson says this means that low income, high population communities such as South LA are likely to get more funds in the higher income, less dense areas like West LA. Residents are encouraged to attend their local community development block grant meetings to give input on the mayor's proposed plan for the funds.
We ask for public comment. We present what the mayor has proposed, the budget, how he thinks it should be spent, and what types of programs. We bring that out to the community. We explain our limitations and our flexibilities. We ask, what are your needs in the community now? What do you think is being addressed or not addressed?
Of the six meetings scheduled, four remain, including today's South LA meeting. Olson expects that employment will be a hot topic of discussion.
At this time, because of the layoff, it's very important for us to continue operating things such as our one-source centers. These one-source centers are unique in that everything is there. They not only have classes that tell you how to do a resume, they have all your resources for jobs throughout the city or whatever's in that community.
For more information on the Community Development Block Grant and how it's affecting your community, please call 213-744-7100 or visit the department's website at www.lacity.org/CDD. Marie Cunningham, Annenberg Radio News.
Marie went to the South Los Angeles meeting this afternoon to see what residents had to say, and now she joins us. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Brooke Sydney.
Were there a lot of people at the meeting today?
Actually, there were more business developers than residents. A lot of people interested in housing and economic development.
What programs were brought up?
The programs brought up today include economic development programs that are aimed at helping entrepreneurs keep their businesses open. 55% of Angelenos are employed by small businesses, so we want to make sure those people have jobs, and much funding has been allocated to economic development and entrepreneurship.
What ideas did residents have?
Not many residents spoke. One woman who did was named Julia Evans. She's 88 and has lived in South Los Angeles for 50 years now. She's raised three children here, three grandkids, and she says she's seen their community change a lot. And her concern is that there are a lot of kids hanging around street corners, and she wants more for them to do. So she's hoping for more funding for youth programs and gang intervention.
Thanks so much, Marie, for the update. Now back to our top story. Los Angelenos are heading to vote. The mayoral race, city attorney, and controller, and a few measures are on the ballot. Jessica Connor went to some polling centers to see what was on the voters' minds.
Well, basically what it does is it affords immigrants who have been detained the opportunity to sign their own deportation. The concern that we have with such a procedure is that often pressure is applied on immigrants when potentially they may have a chance to actually appeal their deportation. And often no legal advice is offered, no consular visits are offered, and immigrants then lose their only chance that they may have.
Do the detainees or the immigrants in this case know and understand their right to a court hearing?
Lines were slim outside South LA today. Inside the polls at the Fauché Learning Center and the Expo Center, voters trickled in. Poll workers at three separate sites say they are only expecting around 80 voters to turn out for the day. For the few people who did turn out today, they say that it was important to vote.
It's important to get in and get your vote in. No matter what you're voting for, your vote counts.
Well, that I'm going to do my part as a community person, and I've always been active in this community, and I feel it's my duty to vote.
That I was making a difference. and my vote counted.
78-year-old Ruth Watkins, who has worked as a poll worker for 25 years, says many people won't vote because they do not think it will make a difference.
People think that one vote doesn't count, but one vote will win the race.
People don't care about the small elections, whether it's for a measure or for the governor or, you know, council members. They don't care. They really don't.
Mayor Villaraigosa agrees that voters have been apathetic.
I think there is some voter fatigue. There's no question about that. This race has been fairly low-key.
Michael Smith, a poll inspector for the city of L.A., says that lack of publicity is the reason for the low turnout.
The election really wasn't publicized enough.
While voter turnout is expected to be low for today's election, many voters say that they still feel they are making a difference. Jessica Connor, Annenberg Radio News.
Immigrant rights groups are concerned about a fast-track deportation program. It allows immigration officials to deport undocumented immigrants without a court hearing, lightening the load of overworked immigration judges. The program is voluntary, but immigration rights activists say many illegals are unaware of their rights. Some illegal immigrants agree to be deported even though they might be eligible for a green card. The number of illegal immigrants deported in California increased fivefold between 2004 and 2007. Many immigrant advocates are blaming the government's use of a stipulated removal program. Earlier today, I spoke with Jorge Mario Cabrera of CHIRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. He explains the speedy deportation program.
Well, basically what it does is it affords immigrants who have been detained the opportunity to sign their own deportation. The concern that we have with such a procedure is that often pressure is applied on immigrants when potentially they may have a chance to actually appeal their deportation. And often no legal advice is offered, no consular visits are offered, and immigrants then lose their only chance that they may have.
Do the detainees or the immigrants in this case know and understand their right to a court hearing?
Often those rights are not read to them, nor is there an interest on the part of ICE officials to actually engage in those procedures. But what often folks do not know is that they are then subject to what is called a 10-year rule, which then forbids them from ever coming back to the United States, even legally, within the next 10 years.
How many people in the South Los Angeles area or Los Angeles in general are impacted by this new program?
We're talking over about 1 million people impacted a year throughout the United States. Uncertain as to how many are impacted in Los Angeles. However, we do know that in Los Angeles is one of the largest mecca of immigrants coming in and out of the United States.
What efforts are being done to educate the detainees about their rights?
We are often engaged in educating the families, both at the individual level and, of course, at the large mass level. We have a DVD that we distribute freely to families. We also have a card that says, Know Your Rights. One of those rights is you have a right to request to see a judge. You have a right to an attorney. So we're often engaging with families and organizations nationwide to make sure that families know about those rights even before they are detained.
That was Jorge Mario Cabrera, a spokesman for the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. Now we check in with Ned Dannenberg to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Brooke. Of course, with all the political news going on today, we take a look at Twitter. It's the popular social networking tool that lets you send out short messages, but wait until you see how politicians are using it to get in touch with voters. And then the latest on that search for the NFL players missing off the coast of Florida, why Coast Guard authorities have actually called off that search tonight. And all of that is coming up at 6 o'clock tonight on Trojan Vision. Hope to see you then.
That wraps it up for today. We had help from Dina Diaz, Ryan Nunez, and Richie Duchon. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins.